Now, what we're going to talk about is the 10 toes and the 10 horns on the beast, and we're going to show you where these are found in the Bible. Daniel 7:7, and it, the beast, had 10 horns. Daniel 7:24, and the 10 horns are 10 kings that shall arise. Notice that's future tense. Daniel 7:20, and the 10 horns that are in its head. Then we find in the book of Revelation 13:1, and it, the beast, had 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation 17:7, the beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the belief about the 10 kings that are going to come, there's actually several beliefs. Number one, some people believe that these 10 have already existed, and this prophecy was already fulfilled somewhere in the early part of the Imperial Roman Empire. The second group say that these 10 came into existence as the 10 tribes that overran Rome or the Roman Empire or the area of Italy centuries ago. And the third group believes that the 10 are yet to come. That's the school of thought that I stand with. But I do want to talk about for a few moments the different ideas that people have about who are these 10 kings. Now, one group came along and said that there were 10 persecutions from the time of Nero to Diocletian, the Roman emperors. And I'm going to put those on the screen and let you look at those and look at the years, the 10 major persecutions. The first one started with Nero in 67 AD, and it goes all the way down the list: 81, 108, 162, 192, 235 AD, 240, 257. Some of these lasted for years, by the way. This was at the beginning of the persecution. And the final one was in 303 AD, where that particular emperor, Diocletian, destroyed the Bibles and collected Bibles to have them burnt and thought he had eliminated the Word of God, which he did not. Now, these 10 persecutions, some teach, those are the 10 kings that the Bible talks about. But notice, if you'll read the prophecy, these 10 kings have to come under subjection to one king, who is the Antichrist. And these are men that ruled from 67 AD to 303. I mean, an average man lives to be 75, 80, 85 years of age. And of course, no one Antichrist exists at that time that all of these particular kings ruled under. So by the basic law of interpreting the prophetic scripture, the 10 persecutions could not be the 10 kings. Now, the second thing is this. They were 10 Germanic tribes that overtook Rome. Now, this is very interesting, because when the Western Roman Empire began to fall, we talked about that earlier, there were 10 tribes, they call them Germanic tribes, that began to overtake the area. We're going to show you a list of their names right here. We have the Huns, the Visigoths, the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, the Franks, the Anglo-Saxons. You go all the way down to the Lombards. The 10th, these are 10 individual groups, you see them on the screen, that were tribes and individuals that began to come in and form an area and take over the area of the Roman Empire. Now, that sounds logical that this could be the interpretations, but notice this. If you're going to say these are the 10 kings of Bible prophecy, what are you going to do with this verse, Daniel 2:41-44? And in the days of these kings, remember, he's talking about the 10 toes on the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the 10 kings at the end of days. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So you look at the interpretation once again, and it doesn't make sense to say these 10 Germanic tribes were the fulfillment of the 10 kings of Bible prophecy. See, some people try to say it's already happened. The problem you have is, in the days of these kings will the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Jesus comes in the days of the 10 kings. He didn't come. He didn't come in the 4th century, the 6th, the 8th, the 10th, the 12th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th. We're already in the 21st century. So he will come when these 10 are formed. So what do they represent? The 10 nations in the common market. Now, I remember that belief in 1981. I was just starting in the ministry, and there were prophetic preachers that were beginning to talk about the time of the end and the end of days. And so in 1951, there was a treaty that was created called the Coal and Steel Treaty. And think about this. That's your iron and your clay. You know, the coal comes out of the clay, the iron is the steel that comes out of the earth, and that's how some interpreted this idea of the iron and the clay, the feet of iron and clay. Could this be the fulfillment of it? All right. Now, the idea of this 1951 treaty was to unite Europe to prevent future wars, especially an economic community where all these nations would come together. 6 immediately joined in the unit: France, West Germany, Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And by the way, this began after 1948, which was the same year that Israel became a nation. Now, something happened in 1980 to 81, and I remember I was a young minister. Greece was number 10 to join what was called the common market. That's what it was called back in that day. And I remember when Greece joined, the prophetic preachers were all excited. This is it. This is the 10 kings. We're in the last day. The Antichrist is about to be revealed. And they just really got into that because of the number 10 connected to the common market. However, as time progressed, 15 nations joined. And as time progressed, more other nations have joined. And so people have kind of had to rewrite, rethink, or reevaluate some of their concept of, is the EU, is the common market actually the 10 nations that the Bible talks about? Now, some of the older prophetic ministers that I know quite well, that I have great respect for, they still believe unequivocally there's going to be 10 common market nations and the Antichrist is going to take over the common market. Let me just share that with you, that that is an older teaching, that there's a lot more insight and revelation that can now be understood, not just that older teaching. You know, it's real easy when you teach one thing all your life to kind of stay in there and not be willing to change. And one thing I've always been willing to do is not change with the times or change with some kind of new teaching, but to weigh the evidence that's coming out in line with what I've taught in the past to see, is it still accurate today as it was when it was being taught? And I'd like to show you some things here. First of all, the first stage, common market has now become the European Union. They have their own money, their own nations, their own passport. And their symbol has been, oddly enough, their symbol has been the Tower of Babel. There was a man that did three paintings in the 1500s, and one of those paintings is like a Roman Colosseum at the bottom. It's the Tower of Babel. Now, these paintings have been used, or one of the paintings was used by the European Union, and under it, it said, many people in one voice, and it shows the tower. So the Tower of Babel is interesting because the Tower of Babel is used in the formation or the shape of the EU Parliament building in Strasbourg, and it's in the bottom part is in the shape of the Tower of Babel from this painting that was done in the 1500s. So the symbol of the tower is connected to the EU, one voice, one people, one nation, one money, etc. And so I just want to share that with you, that this is extremely interesting, but here's the thing, here's the weakness with the EU argument. If we take the 10 toes on this image, and we go back over here and we take these 10, and if we say these are all in the common market, you have to understand that the majority of common market nations are Western nations, and that would put all these on, remember, this is East and this is West, that would put all these toes on one foot. There has to come out five from the East and there has to come out five from the West. It has to be East and West, just as it was divided between the East and West, between Rome, Italy, and Constantinople, Turkey. It still has to come out with five and five, and I'm going to stand with that based on the imagery of the book of Daniel and based on some of the other prophecies that we find in the apocalyptic scripture. Because here's what I want to show you. I want you to think about the reviving of the Roman Empire. Everybody says, okay, the old Roman Empire is being revived, so this is the fulfillment of prophecy, so this is going to be the 10 kings. But look at the countries that were in the Roman Empire that are not yet in the common market. Egypt, Ethiopia, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, parts of Iraq, Turkey, Jordan, and Morocco. Now, Turkey has tried to join, but they've been turned down, and I have been told kind of privately that the reason Turkey was turned down is because it's predominantly an Islamic nation, and if they allow Turkey into the common market nations, what happens is it would give all the people in Turkey literally millions of Muslims passports to go into all these other countries in Europe, and there would be a very high, in their opinion, rate of terrorism or the possibility of people coming in that have no business coming in doing danger to the countries down the road. All right, but that's neither here nor there. We'll see what's going to happen in the very near future. See, one of the things I did years ago at the International Prophecy Conference with Dr. Ray Brubaker, host of God's News Behind the News, is I asked some of the men that I was with, what do you do with Islam? All of you guys are talking about Europe. You're talking about the common market. You're talking about 10 nations coming up out of Europe being the nations the Antichrist takes over. What do you do with 1.7 billion, some say 1.6, 1.7, who knows the exact number, of Muslims that are on the face of the earth who will never accept a Jew ruling over them? What are you going to do? You're preaching the Antichrist is from the tribe of Dan. It's going to be a Jew. And you got all this other teaching. What do you do with Islam? And a lot of them just couldn't answer it, or they didn't have a direct answer for it. I will tell you that the reason I think that Islam is connected with this is, number one, because of the territory and the prophecy. Number two, because of the prophecy that talks about the area the Antichrist is going to come from. And number three is because these areas are predominantly Muslim. And Muslims in Muslim countries only want an Islamic leader. They don't want a Christian leader. They don't want a Jewish leader. They don't want a Buddhist leader. What they want is a Muslim leader leading and directing them. So we have to keep that in mind. So it wasn't the 10 persecutions. That's not the 10 kings. It was not the 10 Germanic tribes that took over, because Jesus did not come back in the days of those 10 tribes. Neither is it, or was it, what we talk about, just the EU, because now they have more nations. Now, the EU is definitely connected to the seventh empire of Bible prophecy, which is globalism. However, to say it's the 10, you can't just say that, because you've got to have five from the east and five from the west. Well, here's a new idea that someone has come up with. It's not actually new. It's been around a while, but someone noted this. Let me say it that way. The world divided into 10 divisions. The Club of Rome has divided the world into 10 economic slash political divisions. This started in 1954 with the Bilderbergers. For example, in 2009, this organization, and this came to me from a friend in Israel that was connected to some of these meetings. In 2009, the Bilderbergers met in Greece, and shortly thereafter, collapse and chaos followed. In 2010, they met in Spain. Afterwards, Spain got a ratings downgrade, and there was difficulty in Spain. They met outside of Washington, and soon after meeting outside of Washington, a recession followed, with America's standard being downgraded. Now, who is this group? They are 100 of the world's wealthiest heads of states and business tycoons. They can manipulate oil markets, stock market. They buy debt and make huge profits, charging interest on the debt of the nations. All of these groups are interested in having one empire called an oligarchy, as that's what it's called, and they want to be able to be the ones to shape all world decisions. David Rockefeller was one of the first ones to admit this strategy and the desire to form a one world government. Now, in the division of the Club of Rome, you have 10 divisions: America, Canada, and Mexico, South America, Austria and New Zealand, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, Japan, South Asia, Central Asia, North Africa, and the Middle East. And of course, the remainder of the continent of Africa would be number 10. Some have suggested this could be the 10 kings of Bible prophecy. And if that's true, it means the Antichrist would control the entire known world. However, it appears to me that most of these nations are going to be Middle East Eastern Islamic nations that he's going to be a part of. And the reason I say that is, in Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist takes over Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt. And in the book of Daniel, it tells us that in the book of Daniel, that the Antichrist, when he comes to power, there's 10 kings, and the moment he comes to power, the Bible says he uproots three of the kings. The early Daniel 11 tells you who the three are: Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. That's in the northern part of Africa. And some of the early church fathers, when they also wrote about these three nations that the Antichrist would overthrow, they named them as the names in Daniel 11: Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. So if those are three of the 10 kings, then that means that those kings, those nations that's going to rule with the Antichrist, that's going to give their kingdom over to the Antichrist, are going to be Islamic nations. One of the reasons I say that they have to be more Islamic than just European is that European countries have a tendency of at least the ones now, I'm not talking about all the people, but Islamic countries basically hate Israel, they hate the Jewish people, and they want the death and destruction to the Jewish people so they can come back into Israel, call it Palestine, and take the country over again for Islam. But if you go strictly into some of the European nations, like the Spanish, the French, the British, and some of the nations that are connected more into the EU unit, they are not going to be so easily swayed to go and attack Israel, kill Jewish people, etc., as radical Muslim nations would. So you have to keep in mind that these 10 kings have probably not yet formed. That European Union, this is what I believe, is going to be a part of that seventh empire of Bible prophecy that's going to continue for a short space. Now, the question arose, and I thought this was a great question. Perry, why do you think, what would cause 10 individual nations to give their kingdom over to the Antichrist? I'm going to give you some reasons. Number one, In the book of Revelation, chapter 17, 18, you have Mystery Babylon. But the Bible says that the 10 kings, that they destroy Mystery Babylon, and in 1 hour, they give their kingdom over to the beast. The Antichrist goes into, and I believe it's Rome, and he absolutely destroys Rome, probably with a nuclear device. And when he does, the 10 kings give their kingdom to the beast in 1 hour. Think about this. They submit to the Antichrist in 1 hour. I think, number one, they give their kingdom over for survival. They give their kingdom over to the Antichrist, the 10 kings do, because of fear. Number two, the Bible tells us that there's going to be wars during the tribulation. When the two, well, there's four horsemen that John saw in the book of Revelation chapter 6. Two of the four, it mentions a sword, which represents war. There's going to be war and fighting in the tribulation period. And to prevent being attacked by the Antichrist or by his army, I believe that we're going to find out that these 10 kings submit to keep, to align with him for peace purposes with the Antichrist. Because the Bible says, who can make war against the beast? Revelation 13, verse 4. And the Bible in Daniel 7 says he makes war against the saints. That's actually against the Jewish people, the Kodeshim, the holy ones, because the book of Daniel is addressed to Israel, the Jews, and the Jewish people, not to the church, which did not exist back in that day. So I believe that because of wars in the tribulation and the Antichrist being a fighter and a warrior, that these 10 kings submit to their kingdom to him to prevent themselves from being destroyed. Number three, water shortages during the tribulation. Revelation 11, 6 is going to be a drought. The drought's going to last for 42 months. Revelation 11, 6 says that the water is going to be turned to blood. This will probably be caused by a meteorite that hits the earth and pollutes the water. That's also found in the book of Revelation. It also says the Euphrates River is going to dry up, Revelation 16, 12. And that river is 1,800 miles long, starts up in Turkey, empties out in the Persian Gulf. And imagine when that river dries up that the drinking water has been affected. And the one thing about Israel is Israel has huge amounts of underground drinking water that some of the surrounding nations around them do not have. They irrigate their farms with water that was from the found there in Israel that was actually probably there from the very time of creation. So because of the water supplies being in Israel, and there's several of them that I won't have time to talk about or don't want to get into, the underground supplies in Israel may still be available at that time in the tribulation. And so the Antichrist makes a move, not only because of water, but also there's going to be food shortages in the beginning of the tribulation. If you read the Bible, one of the horsemen has a balance in his hand and he's measuring the food. He's rationing the food. And actually a loaf of bread will cost a day's wages based on the Greek reference there in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Then there's going to be all sorts of disasters. There's going to be, for example, in Revelation at the sixth seal, rich men go into the caves and into the underground for fear, Revelation 6, 12 through 16. You have all sorts of things happening. You have earthquakes. You have mighty earthquakes. You have things taking place. And let me just talk to you real quick, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but to show you the condition of things in the tribulation and how everything goes to a coalition. You have a kings of the east. You have the kings of the east in the book of Revelation. Then you have the 10 kings of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. So it seems that it moves from just one nation into a coalition of nations, and there must be a reason for that. In America, for example, without going into detail, if Yellowstone, which is an underground volcano, would erupt, it would devastate not only all the food in America, but all the outskirts of America with the dust and the ash. We would be covered for miles, and there would be places that for years it would be unable to grow food. Then the Bible tells us that the cities of the nations are going to fall by a major earthquake, Revelation chapter 16. 18 through 20, you can read about that. And, you know, it's real interesting because it talks about how the islands even flee away. There's no island to be found. It is interesting to note something called the Ring of Fire. It's the Pacific Ring of Fire located in the basin of the Pacific Ocean. I'm going to show you a map here of it. There's 452 volcanoes, home of 75 of the world's most active volcanoes, and also active and dormant volcanoes, 90% of the world's earthquakes occur here. The western part of it runs through California, Washington State, and Oregon. Alaska is also in its direction. So this ring of fire has, look at these cities, Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, China, Shanghai, China, Vancouver, British Columbia, Jakarta, Indonesia, San Diego, California, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, California, Sydney, Australia, Santiago, Chile, okay? All of these cities are in this ring of fire. Now, when it says the cities of the nations fell, Here we can see the major cities are in the Pacific Rim, right on the coastline of the Ring of Fire where the volcanoes are. Remember that Joel and Acts both said that there'll be blood and fire and pillars of smoke before the great terrible day of the Lord. Many scholars believe that's volcanic eruptions, and that is a sign of the time of the end. Of course, those are starting to happen and get stirred up again in places like the Philippines, Indonesia, South America, etc. Even in the United States, Mount St. Helens erupted. So it's real interesting that it says when Gog and Magog, the battle of Gog and Magog occurs, there's a great shaking, and there will be fire on the islands, Ezekiel 39, verse 6. So the point I'm making here is when you begin to look at the natural disasters, you begin to see how the nations of the world are going to have coalitions formed in order for survival. Now, having said that about the 10 kings, these 10 kings, there will be a reason they give their kingdom over to the Antichrist. But let's go a little step further. In the book of Daniel and Revelation, the prophets saw nations that were going to be involved in the time of the end. Now, what I want to do now is I want to put a list on the screen and the scripture reference of the nations that are going to be involved at the time of the end. Here we go. This is in the Bible. This gives you a good idea of where we're going. All right. First of all is the pleasant land, which is Israel, Daniel 8, 9. The glorious holy mountain is Jerusalem, Daniel 8:11-45. The king of the south is Egypt, Daniel 11:40. The king of the north is Assyria, Russia, and also Turkey, Daniel 11:40. The ships of Chittim is Cyprus, Daniel 11:30. Libya and Ethiopia are the countries of Libya and Ethiopia, Daniel 11:43. Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon are the country of Jordan, Daniel 11:41. And when it says the Antichrist is great toward the east, that would be Iraq, Iran, and also Afghanistan, Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. So the Antichrist, this gives you the territory that the Bible prophecies indicate are going to be the city of the nations that are going to be active in the book of Daniel, according to the Bible, concerning the time of the tribulation. Now the Antichrist will arise. This is real important to catch this. The Antichrist arises to his position as what we call the Antichrist after these 10 kings or kingdoms unite together. Let me read the verses for you in Daniel 7:24-25. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, and that's 42 months. That's found in the book of Revelation. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, I want to show you the rise of the Antichrist in connection to the 10 toes, the 10 horns, or what we call, the Bible calls, the 10 kings. The beast is the kingdom. When John describes a beast rising up out of the sea, he's talking about not just a person, he's talking about an entire kingdom that a person rules over, all right? So the beast is the kingdom, and the 10 kings are leaders in this beast kingdom. Now, Daniel 7:24, 10 kings shall arise, and another arises after them. What does that mean? The 10 kings are in position first before the Antichrist actually comes to power. That's a very important thing that you need to remember as we come toward the end of days. They have to be in power first before the Antichrist can rise. Number two, Daniel 7:8, the little horn arises, and when he does, he takes out 3, or he uproots 3 of the 10, but he has eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we mentioned a moment ago, the 3 are Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, based on Daniel 11, and also based on some of the writings of the early fathers. Daniel 8, verse 9, the little horn becomes great to the south, the east, and the pleasant land. The pleasant land is the area of Israel, okay? And then we have the south, which is the northern part of Africa, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. And then we have the east, which is Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all Islamic territory. So he is great in the Islamic world. It's very clear. This man has an Islamic background, and he's going to be trying to form this caliph for this new Islamic empire at the very, very end of days.
Does prophetic symbolism of beast and horns confuse you? Do you question what is coming and how it impacts you? Perry's prophetic offer is a detailed teaching from the apocalyptic book of Daniel, Unsealing the Daniel Cipher, a 2-DVD, 4-hour prophetic series using maps, charts, graphics, and props, with numerous scriptures to illustrate this urgent right now teaching. Many of your complicated questions will be answered after viewing this series. Perry unlocks the concealed cipher in the book of Daniel, linking it with the book of Revelation. Perry explains Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's visions and dreams, which revealed the future. He will detail the Antichrist symbolism, his headquarters, and formation of a final kingdom. Perry also explains which nations will eventually fall and how frightened citizens will flee their country. He will list and expound upon numerous individual plots and plans of the future beast system. Learn the nations that will suffer the most when Daniel's visions are unsealed on the earth. Discover the identity of the ten horns and the nations that unite as a dangerous force at the time of the end. Receive new understanding as Perry explains the meaning of specific Aramaic and Hebrew words. See how the West and East will be divided and how Islam and Christianity come into play. Understand how the Antichrist will arise from one of four nations as described in Daniel's vision. Perry explains the dream of the tree stump, which most ministers seldom teach. Discover these insights and so much more. This teaching is a spiritual investment into life-changing knowledge. The offer 2DV101 is available for a donation of $30 or more, which helps keep Manifest coming to you each week. Order now by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or go online to perrystone.org. You can also order the 2-DVD set by writing and sending a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. This entire teaching is also available as video on demand by visiting our website. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You know, the prophet Daniel was told to seal his book till the time of the end, but it would be unlocked at the latter days. And so we're at that time right now that you need to understand that the empires, the nations, they represent what is going to happen in those nations. How is it going to affect you? The rise of the Antichrist. Who are the 10 kings? Where do they come from? All these questions are going to be answered when you watch this. And you'll probably play this several times to glean from it. So this is the final opportunity, from what I understand, that you have to get this particular offer. Very quickly, now watch if we're coming into your area. We'd love to have you join us. Maryville, Tennessee. June the 30th, that's all day Sunday, Pastor Alan Bryant's church called the Meadow Church. We're going to be there, and I want you to be a part of that meeting if you can. Then in Louisville, Kentucky, all of you from Indiana and the Louisville area, Lexington area, July 18th to the 21st, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Evangel World Prayer Center, which is our big Hebraic prophetic event that we have. It's like a conference, but it's like a camp meeting conference. It's fantastic. And then we're going to go to Harvest Worship Center, July 27th and 28th, Stuart, Virginia. And that's a meeting I said earlier that we postponed, but we're coming there. We don't have anything before or anything immediately right after. I think August the 4th, I have to go to Life Church in Arkansas. So please join us if you have the opportunity to do so. You can stay in touch with us at perrystone.org. You can stay in touch with us through our YouTube channel, through so many areas of social media. But we also are emphasizing this is going to be the most important event we've ever had, most important main event ever. It's called Awaken America Main Event on October 1 through the 5th. And there's no registration fee to attend, but you have to register. That registration will be coming up next week on perrystone.org. And we ask you to only register if you know you can attend. See you. God bless you.